Thank you, Dr. Koch, for the introduction. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. So recently, two weather-based disease forecasting models have been developed for predicting dollar spot activity on creeping pinkgrass. Ryan et al. Created a growing degree day model that was used for predicting the onset of dollar spot symptoms each spring. This model used a base air temperature of 15 degrees Celsius and a start date of the 1st of April. So during this three-year field trial, the authors reported that disease onset occurred at 60 to 70 growing degree days for highly susceptible cultivars and 105 to 115 growing degree days for moderately susceptible cultivars. So this second model, developed by Smith, was a logistic regression model, which used five-day moving averages of relative humidity and air temperature to predict dollar spot activity throughout the entire season. The output for this model is referred to as a risk index, and in some validation studies, using a 20% risk index to time fungicide applications, model-based applications resulted in one less spray per year compared to the calendar program and provided the same level of control. So research from Wisconsin has shown that early preventative fungicide applications can delay dollar spot appearance by as much as a month, which could potentially affect fungicide inputs for the rest of the season. However, the optimum timing of these applications still remains unknown. What's equally, or perhaps more important, is the strategy for timing all the subsequent applications for the season. It's common, at least in New Jersey, for golf course superintendents to apply fungicides on a 14 to 28 day interval for this disease. An alternative might be using the logistic regression model to base applications because we know it has a potential for saving fungicide inputs. And a third option might be using early curative or threshold-based applications. And research from Kentucky showed that this threshold program can reduce fungicide inputs compared to a calendar program and maintain the same level of disease control. But it's important to note that this study was performed on a cultivar that was only moderately susceptible to dollar spot. And if you dig a little farther into the peer-reviewed literature, it's surprising to see you don't see many studies that have combined this factor of pinkgrass susceptibility with something like fungicide inputs. In the early 2000s, researchers in Kansas showed that this moderately susceptible cultivar L93 did reduce fungicide inputs compared to highly susceptible Crenshaw, but what remains unknown is how fungicide inputs would be impacted by relatively new creeping pinkgrass cultivars that have very low susceptibility to this disease. So we hypothesize that optimizing each one of these three factors would result, and combining them in an integrated approach would result in significant reductions for fungicide inputs for this disease. So in 2015, we initiated a trial that had the objective of assessing the effects of initial and subsequent fungicide application timings along with pinkgrass susceptibility on dollar spot disease incidence and fungicide inputs. This trial is maintained as a fairway, air-graded to maintain moderately dry conditions. And we inoculated the trial area with two isolates of Sclerotinia homeocarpa in April of 2015. These are the nitrogen fertilization inputs since 2014 when we seeded. And we controlled any unwanted pests with fungicides that we believed to have no effect on dollar spot. We'll actually touch on that in a few slides. So this trial was arranged in an 8x2x2 factorial in a randomized complete block design with 5 blocks. This first factor having 8 levels was the initial fungicide timing, where we applied fungicides either at the first appearance of disease on May 20th, using the logistic model once it reached 20% risk index in the spring, or at one of 5 growing degree day ranges using the Ryan et al. Model. The second factor with 2 levels was the subsequent application timing, where we used, again, the logistic model, and we applied every 21 days if the risk index was above 20%. If it went below, the interval was extended till it reached 20% risk index again. Second level was a threshold-based approach, where we applied fungicides when a treatment had an average of 1 infection center or more per plot. This last factor was pinkgrass susceptibility, where we used the cultivar's independence and declaration as our high or low susceptibility levels. And outside of the factorial structure, we had a couple added treatments, a negative control being the untreated check and a positive control being a calendar-based fungicide program applying fungicides every 21 days from May to November. The fungicide we used was Boscalid for all of our fungicide application timings at the high label rate. We used it until August of this year when we noticed some reduced field efficacy with that chemistry, so we switched to a tank mix of vinclozolin and fluazinam to provide that same 21-day interval that Boscalid was giving us. All of our weather data was collected on site for use in the environmental-based models. We counted the number of infection centers, and we also measured their diameter so we could record the average diameter of infection centers for each plot. And we quickly realized that Declaration had very small infection centers compared to Independence. So we wanted to standardize this infection center count specifically because we're using it for our threshold-based applications for the two cultivars. So we made a transformation to standard-sized infection centers. And in our study, a standard-sized infection center had an area of 314 square millimeters. So what we did is we took the count of infection centers of a plot, multiplied it by the average area of an infection center in that plot, and divided it by 314 square millimeters, which gave us the count of standard-sized infection centers for that plot. Disease incidence was summarized over time using the area under disease progress curve transformation. We subjected data to analysis of variance in SAS, and any significant interactions were interpreted by comparing means or the effect sizes among means. So for results, we'll just look at AUDPC for 2015 and 2017, and we'll also look at the annual fungicide inputs for each treatment for each of those years. Now, during 2016, we were making fungicide applications to selectively control anthracnose using the chemistry flutioxanil. Well, although it's not labeled for dollar spot, we found out that that chemistry also has some effect on dollar spot. And as a result, we had limited response to treatments in 2016, so we're not going to present that data. Looking at the ANOVA results for AUDPC, we see that the main effects of cultivar and subsequent fungicide timing were significant for each year. We also see this two-way interaction of those two factors, and it was significant in 2015. So to go chronologically, we'll dive right into that interaction. So this figure is showing AUDPC on the y-axis and the cultivars Declaration and Independence on the x-axis, Declaration being in the green bars, Independence in red. So you're also seeing the main effects here, with Independence having more AUDPC than Declaration, and within each cultivar you see that the threshold subsequent timing had a higher AUDPC versus the logistic model. But what this interaction is telling us is that this subsequent timing effect was much greater in Independence, with the take-home message here being that the importance of the subsequent fungicide application timing becomes much more important when you're managing a highly susceptible cultivar like Independence. And again, in 2017, only main effects were significant. So here's the cultivar main effects, with Independence having more disease. And subsequent timing, again, threshold providing a little more disease in the logistic regression model-based treatments. Now we're going to look at the annual fungicide inputs for these treatments for each year. And you see the two cultivars, Declaration and Independence, along with the 2 years on the top of this table. And on the left, you see the fungicide timings for these treatments. I just want to make a quick note. There's an asterisk here by 2017. This trial is still underway, and we expect to make at least one more calendar-based application at the end of this month for treatments in 2017. And depending on disease activity, we might make more applications based on a threshold or the logistic model. So our calendar-based program, this was our positive control. If you recall, we're making applications every 21 days from May to November each year, and that resulted in 9 fungicide applications in 2015, and it will in 2017. And when we compare these alternate subsequent timing strategies back to the calendar program, starting with the logistic model for Declaration, we see applications totaling 8 to 9 in 2015, 5 to 8 in 2017, resulting in an 11 to 14% reduction in fungicides compared back to the calendar-based program. In Independence, model-based applications resulted in the same amount of applications or up to 22% reduction in fungicide inputs. On a threshold basis in Independence, we see a large reduction in fungicide inputs, 44 to 67% reduction compared back to the calendar program, And a quick note, we also achieved good to excellent disease control using a threshold program in this low susceptibility cultivar. In Independence, we also saw a reduction using a threshold approach, but the caveat here is we didn't always achieve good control. We were only able to maintain moderate disease control using Independence because at various times each year, when we got out of that 21-day interval in the threshold plot in Independence, and we entered a time of intense disease pressure, disease incidence would ramp up past that and that threshold that we're using. And this happened as recently as a week ago in New Jersey. Both Declaration and Independence plots had come out of their 21-day interval, and Independence raced from zero, a clean plot, to what you see in this image in a matter of 48 hours, whereas Declaration also displayed some symptoms of dollar spike, but you, I don't know if you can even see them. They're very few in number and very small in diameter. So some conclusions from this work. We showed that this logistic regression model worked for timing fungicide applications in New Jersey and resulted in savings of up to 44% in fungicide inputs. We believe that we could actually save more fungicides using this model. We had a better understanding of how to use this risk index to make fungicide applications. And if you want to come by and visit me in my poster later this afternoon, we can talk about another study where we've taken a closer look at this risk index performance on cultivar and how it relates to dollar spot severity in New Jersey. And we believe we made some progress there, so feel free to stop by. Looking at threshold-based fungicide applications, this is where it kind of depends on the cultivar that you're managing. With Independence, we saved some fungicides, but it was a risky strategy, and we could only achieve moderate control using a threshold-based approach in this highly susceptible cultivar. Whereas with Declaration, we saved a lot of fungicides, and it wasn't risky. It actually provided us some flexibility in our fungicide programming, and we were able to achieve excellent control. So that leads us to the question, what would the savings be using a threshold-based approach on a newer cultivar that might be tolerant to dollar spot, might not have the same level of partial resistance that Declaration does, but it might be a good cultivar that's a good fit for a fairway turf. So I think there's plenty of room for more research here. And I'll end with that. I'll thank fellow graduate student Kyle Genova, Dr. Clark, Dr. Murphy, my co-advisors, and my committee, Dr. Koch and Dr. Norm LaLancet at Rutgers, and all of our generous funding agencies. Thank you.
Questions for James?
Yes, Dr. James, Rossi.
How concerned are you that 9 applications of Boscovin was intensely selecting, like, during the season, especially in a susceptible cultivar? Can you speak to that, especially in light of some of the things we've been listening to already this morning?
Yeah, excellent question. Dr. Roski is asking, how concerned were we choosing Boscovin as a fungicide and making all these multiple applications on our plots? It was a concern, you know, with a factor like fungicide timing, you want to not confound that factor by changing chemistries among timings. So we had to make this decision of what chemistry should we use. And in fungicide efficacy trials in New Jersey, Boscovin was a top performer. And in hindsight, you know, yes, a tank mix might have been a better choice. Obviously, rotation is the best practice, but we can't do that when we're using different timings. So that's why we made the quick switch to a tank mix, using a different tool to achieve our objectives with that fungicide timing factor.
And you still got moderate control after the switch?
Yes, that's a great question, because we're still achieving a 21-day interval. What the problem with Independence is once you get out of that interval of fungicide control, I mean, you are so at risk for dollar spot ramping up in a matter of days. We're checking these threshold plots as often as daily to look for new disease incidents. Any other questions?
So, real quick, any environmental differences between 15 and 17? I remember, I think 16 was a very dry year. But you had basically the same, using the models, you had kind of the same number of applications in 15 versus 17. Was there any environmental differences in those 2 years, or were they pretty similar?
They were actually pretty similar, 2015 and 2017. Both were excellent years for dollar spot disease progress.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.